Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it is good to be with you on your Sunday. I tell you what a beautiful weekend to have Easter. We have had exceptional weather on Friday, Saturday, and today is going to be absolutely another gorgeous day. They're saying it might get all the way up to 80 degrees right here in our great state of Iowa. But what a great opportunity that we can come and we can praise the risen King, Jesus Christ. And I just hope today that maybe you're traveling down the road, you've turned it on to 104.9 on your radio, and you're just you're tuned in, and you're just checking us out. I just want to thank you for being a part of this broadcast today, and just we got some good stuff for you as you travel. I just pray that you hold on to us, and as you're headed, maybe you're to an event, maybe you're on your way to church. I know many that tune in, listen on their way to church, and I just want to thank you again for doing that and participating in that as well. Or maybe you're simply at home, and this has become your church. I just want to thank you for the opportunity of that. Of what is going on today. But again, happy Easter, and we are glad to have you with us. Just a few things. Again, I just want to remind folks that we send out, Vital Ministries has devotionals that we send out 6 days a week for both men and women. A great opportunity of great inspiration, that extra plug-in in the morning as you're maybe on your way to work or headed out. You can get it actually on your phone. We have an app. You can download that. Just a way of keeping tuned in. Great inspiration, and also too about finding what's coming up next in Vital Ministries. But we're going to jump in today. We're not going to delay it. What a great opportunity. It's Easter Sunday morning. It's a beautiful, again, sunny day here right in Iowa. Today is one of the biggest religious holidays in America and around the world. People will come together, heading to church, wearing their finest Easter apparel. We will come rejoicing our risen King, Jesus Christ. Some of you have been with us in this season of Lent, and we've had a 40-day pilgrimage of following the last days of Christ before he was crucified on a cross for our sins. Last Sunday, we celebrated Palm Sunday, a time in which Jesus was truly hailed King of the Jews. And we read about that and that experience that Jesus had with his disciples as he come down the Mount of Olives and headed into the eastern gate of Jerusalem. We've experienced his life this past week as well with the special series. Many churches will have had Monday, Thursday services and Good Friday. Solemn moments with Jesus as we read about his final days. And hopefully many of us, it was a week to simply just remember. This past week, we've had men who are part of Vital Men doing special things as well during this Passover week at our group in Pella, Vital Men location. They watched the Mel Gibson movie, The Passion of the Christ. They had supper for the men, and they watched the movie. And one of the guys that talked to me about that said, Mike, we actually sat around after the movie was over and talked about what we experienced as we watched that movie, as we saw The Passion of the Christ. And what a great opportunity. Matter of fact, my understanding is Mel Gibson is coming out with a new movie coming in a matter of time, hopefully, called The Resurrection. What a great time that should be as we commemorate what Jesus Christ not only did on the cross, but also too in the resurrection. What a greater opportunity as well. In Oski, Vital Men, we had communion together. We hadn't done it all year long, and it just seemed to be fitting in the moment. We read Jesus' words out of the book of Matthew to his disciples. It was a moving evening together. And the Vital Men and many of the other locations did the same thing. Looking at a way to commemorate, looking at a way to remember of what Jesus did, not only on the cross, but also today as we celebrate his resurrection. But today, we celebrate, we're going to look at the lives of three people in which I call they came running. Matter of fact, that's our teaching today, is we're going to call it They Came Running. We'll read about and hear about Mary Magdalene, about the disciple Peter and the disciple John, and how they experienced the resurrection of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Doesn't that just simply bring chills up and down your back this morning as you think about the experiences we're going to have, what I call, as we read in the book of John this morning, and many of you are at home and you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to John chapter 20. But it brings us to a point of what I would call live action, where we read and we get a perspective of three different people. And what I love so much about it this morning is that we realize that death couldn't conquer Jesus. The grave couldn't hold him. And matter of fact, he is a risen King. But let's jump into this morning in our teaching of He Came Running. And my first point today is this. the early morning surprise. And let's look at beginning with John chapter 20, verse 1 and 2. Again, that's John chapter 20, verse 1 and 2. If you're driving down the highway today, just keep your eyes on the road. We'll get this done. We'll read the Word of God, and I'm sure it will be a great experience for all of us today. It says this, starting with verse 1 in chapter 20. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter. Again, that's important. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Now, this is important because it has significance that this first person, this first witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a believing woman. It was Mary Magdalene. She was a devoted follower of Jesus. She is first mentioned by name in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. She had 7 demons, evil spirits in her, and Jesus had compassion on her and cast out those demonic forces. She is often alluded to as the woman in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50, the sinful woman who anointed Jesus' feet. She had sinned much, and Jesus forgave much. She loved Jesus, not as a man loves a woman or vice versa, but she loved Jesus as her Savior. It's no wonder that she was the one who went into the tomb that early Sunday morning, only to be surprised that it was empty. Remember in Mark chapter 15, verse 40, she is mentioned as being as the one of the woman who watched from a distance the crucifixion and the death of Jesus. Only love and devotion would take you to such a place. Why is it important? The Bible, in this portion of the Bible, is because that women were not held in high regard. It was a rub in the Jewish rabbis that Jesus acknowledged that women themselves. It said in the Bible that the religious leaders and the religious Pharisees said this: "It's better that the words be burned as to being delivered to a woman." What a narrow-minded concept. Jesus was bringing out a new ministry. It was a new wineskin for those who understand that. It was a new way because Jesus came for all people. Jesus came to be the Savior to both women and men. And he included Mary Magdalene in such a thing as this, and also as one of his disciples. And because of that, she had loved him and had great devotion for Jesus. That is why she ran back to the disciple to find Peter and John. It still hadn't come to her that Jesus had risen. In her mind, they had taken Jesus' body. She was all torn up inside, wondering where he was. It was a surprise to her on that Sunday morning that his body was gone. Most of us love surprises in our lives, don't we? Even when we look to the surprise of people. I love to watch the stories and where you see ball games, both in baseball and the NFL and even in basketball. So many different things where men and women come back from the military and they get to come home. During that time, they look at that and depict the moment. And the family member has been gone away for a long period of time, and they get to surprise the person, the family member, and who they love at a ball game. People in the crowd are cheering, tears are flowing, and all the people involved are being loved on. What a great moment as we watch those things and we stand back and watch those surprise moments. I can remember when I first started dating my wife, and I had previously made arrangements to go on a 7-day vacation, a cruise. I went with a good friend by the name of Dave, and it was a good time, and we had a great time with each other and just the scenic views of the Caribbean. But the only thing is I couldn't wait to get back home to see my soon-to-be wife, Dana. And I wanted to surprise her with gifts that I had bought her, and when I gave them to her, man, she just really, really appreciated it. But the best surprise for her was the day I returned. And it was such a great moment, and as I raced back, because she knew I was racing back from the airport to be with her. She missed my presence, and I missed her. In my mind, Mary Magdalene was missing Jesus' presence. So when she came to the tomb, she was surprised that he wasn't there. So she went back running to tell the disciples. In my mind, there's a little irony in this story with Mary Magdalene, that the religious rulers and the Romans both thought that the disciples had taken the body. And you can find that in Matthew chapter 27, verses 62 through 65. The leading priests and the Pharisees asked Pilate to place a Roman guard there to watch over the tomb and make sure that the disciples wouldn't come or the other followers of Jesus would come and take his body. Each were facing the unknown, but better yet, folks, the surprise was that it wasn't truth, that they would soon find out the reason why Jesus' body was gone. But that brings us to our second point today, impulse versus belief. And I want to show you that as we continue in the book of John, reading from verses 3 through 10. It says this, Peter and the other disciples started out for the tomb. They were both running. Both the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went right inside. He also noticed that the linen wrappings lying there while the cloth had covered Jesus' face had been folded up, lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still didn't understand the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. They went back home, back to the upper room. See, we open this point with two men running. Peter and John go in an all-out sprint. They take out of that upper room, and they had just heard the story from Mary Magdalene. So they were in a dead run. They were neck and neck, but obviously John, being a younger man, he pulls away first. And it's an impulsive moment, in fact, for both of the men in the beginning in the Gospel of John. And Luke, we hear the same thing in the Gospel of Luke, where Peter, again, impulsively runs to the tomb. Was it impulse that made him run, or was it belief? See, impulse will make you do things you wouldn't normally do, and I can totally relate to Peter as with that all too much. My impulsive gets me in trouble at times, and it gets me to points where the impulse overrides sometimes my thinking. It's months since I've been back at the great nation of Israel as we journeyed and did a pilgrimage in that great country. We went to a small town in Israel where Jacob's well was. It's the very place that Jesus had this encounter with the Samaritan woman, which is found in John chapter 4, verses 5 through 42. The small community that we visited, the town was called Shechem. It's a Palestinian province in the nation of Israel. Palestinians are only allowed to go in and out. And there's actually a gate, a guarded gate, where the Jewish military are there. So when they go in and go out, you get checked. You make sure you have a purpose while you're going in. Only Jews with special access can actually enter that Palestinian province. When we're there and we were about to leave, we had just journeyed. We went in. We saw the place of Jacob's well, and it was just an amazing place. Just to think that not only that the patriarch Jacob and that place, that location was still there, but even Jesus had met the Samaritan woman. But as we were getting ready to leave, there were several Palestinians there on the steps as we were traveling out, and for the most part, they were mostly men. And we had this moment of talking. And we're talking about different things. So without thinking, I asked them what they thought about America. Guess what happened? They told me, and I had to realize, wrong question. They said that they liked Americans, but not our government. They especially did not like our government leaders in the time, and they felt that our government itself was one-sided, slanted toward Israel. Obviously, Jews and Palestinians and Muslims all believe they have the right to Israel as a nation itself. But the only problem is as we were talking about and having the conversation, it grew more and more tense. And folks, it was time to leave. I could tell you our Jewish guide was not impressed with the conversation or even me asking such a question. I walked away feeling, to be honest, folks, pretty stupid with my impulsive question. Even my wife asked me, what were you thinking? Again, impulse will get you every time. It says here that Peter goes right into the tomb while John, who was outside, runs. But he waits. He investigates. John is looking for more information, getting the lay of the land. John observed what's inside first before he enters. Once Peter goes, he goes charging in. And he goes without thinking and being impulsive as Peter often was. See, John, he takes times. He looks at the important things. He watches for details. He's getting facts. He noticed that the linen wrappings there and the cloth that covered Jesus' face, that it was actually folded, that they had been folded neatly and just not flung around or on the floor everywhere. There is not one detail in this portion of Scripture that John doesn't pick up on, and he writes for us as the reader. In my mind, John and Mary Magdalene have a deeper love for Jesus. They went to the cross together to be with him. John chose faith instead of fear. He was fully committed to Jesus himself, but Peter would eventually get there, as we read later on in John chapter 21 in the reinstatement of Peter. But John has this deeper love, this deeper devotion, obedience, and we see that in the Scriptures, that oftentimes, you know, Jesus is with the 12 and then he has the three, which is John, Peter, and James. But we'll also see moments where John and Jesus have these intimate moments, these intimate encounters with each other. But here's the important thing that strikes me in the Bible about this. It says that John went and he saw and he believed. He didn't question it. His faith was kicking in, and he believed what he saw, though he couldn't see it physically. He was truly living out what I call Hebrews chapter 11, 1. It says this, that faith is the confidence that we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things we can't see. What a great verse. That is why I believe that such struggling today in our own country. It says that people who attend Easter service today, people who will actually go to church. Now, this is interesting. I want you to think about this. According to the Barna Group, 42% of the people who go to church today understand its true meaning. That they understand that it's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the other percentage of people basically see it simply as a religious holiday itself. Peter worked from impulse at the tomb and still couldn't believe, while John saw and believed, which brings us to our third point today. Point number three, you will recognize his voice. And we want to touch the point on this a little bit about Mary Magdalene and the encounter that she has with Jesus, starting with verse 11. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other sitting at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. They say, "Dear woman, why are you crying?" And she responds, "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied. "I don't know where he is, where they put him." She turned and leaved and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. Jesus says this. These are red letter words in my Bible. He looks at Mary and says, "Dear woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Mary responds, she simply thought that the man that was in front of her was a gardener. She says, "Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him. I will go and get him." And Jesus says this. He calls out her name, Mary. She turned to him and cried, "Rabboni," which in Hebrew means teacher. And Jesus says, "Don't cling to me," he says, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go, find my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father, your Father, to my God, to your God." Mary Magdalene then left, found the disciples, and told them, "I have seen the Lord." And then she gave them his message. See, this portion of the Bible stings in my soul, but we see Mary Magdalene back at the tomb. She made a second return. She is weeping with the thought of Jesus' body being stolen. Can you get the moment with me for a second? We talked about her love and her devotion. She is having an encounter with two white-robed angels. Yet she is having a conversation with them, and only in John do we see her not being terrified with the experience, not only to hear that he wasn't dead, but someone had taken. That's all she could get in the back of her mind. My Lord is dead, and someone has taken him. I often ask myself, how often do I cry out to the Lord in his presence? Because sometimes, folks, it goes because of the present was like what it once what used to be. And that's what Mary was going through. And sometimes we do that within our own selves. We have either allowed to sin to creep in our lives or busyness that shift us to having intimate moments of presence with the Holy Spirit, so that we might get closer with Jesus himself. When I look over my life, I see this closeness, this this closeness I encounter most with Jesus, it's when I'm most broken. It's in that place that I need him the most, and it's always in the frailties of life itself that we encounter the times that Jesus is the greater for it, greatest in our lives for us. As I've shared, I've just recently made a change in my life from a full-time ministry. I hit a wall of burnout and frustration, juggling two full-time jobs, vital ministries, being a husband, father, and a grandpa. No time, literally burning the candle at both ends, was majorly an understatement. And with that, my relationship with Jesus was more of an obligation, to be honest with you, than out of obedience and a dedication of love for him. It was simply a bad place to be. Last Sunday, early in the morning, I was walking out, and I had our 110-pound Bernese Mountain Dog, who I call Puppy, out, and I was walking. And my neighbor says she, more often that instead of me walking her, that she's walking me. I'm out on the golf course, and the sun is coming up, and the crispness of the air is ever so present. The birds are singing, and for the first time, folks, in a long time, I'm actually noticing the moment. I had stopped running, and I was simply walking. And when I was out there walking on the golf course in the sun and all the nature itself, I started crying out to Jesus to forgive me of my lack of obedience and trust in him. That he truly has my life, and that what mattered most is his presence. No amount of doing ministry, building homes, or running could ever fill that void that only his presence can fill. To me, Mary was having a moment. It was when she had stopped running, stopped doing, that Jesus met her. She was even having a conversation with him, and she thought he was the gardener. It was only then when Jesus called her by name that she recognized his voice. And then even at that moment after he said, Mary, she calls out to him, Rabboni. She couldn't hold back. She jumps and she clings to Jesus. I see my Savior, she thought, and she found him. But the truth is that Jesus truly found Mary. Jesus affirms her, tells her to go back, that he's going back to heaven to be with his papa, to be with his father in heaven. He tells her to go and tell his brothers, I have risen. I'll be back soon. Everything is working out as planned. Mary goes back to her disciples and she tells them that she has witnessed Jesus, that he is truly resurrected from the dead, that she has seen him with her own eyes, and then he spoke to her. He called me Mary. She was having a genuine moment of faith, and it generated her own faith. But oftentimes, folks, we get so busy in the midst of life itself. And I have to ask you this question on this Resurrection Sunday. How's your faith today? Do you believe that he has risen? Or is it simply another religious holiday? Folks, I have heard the Holy Spirit whisper my name in the night. I believe Jesus is my Savior, that I have asked him to forgive me of my own sins. But can you do that today? It's Easter. What better time to come to know Jesus Christ than today? We have these moments of opportunity of Easter. It's a great time, that and my hope today is that as you're listening, that you're truly headed for church itself, where you get to experience the celebration, the singing, the joyous time as we serve a risen King. And so many pastors today will give an opportunity of salvation. But today, maybe today this is the only opportunity for you. I just pray that maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart today. I'm going to ask you today if you would, and if you're driving down the highway, you can call out these words as you're driving. Keep your eyes on the road. Or maybe today you're at home and you have the Holy Spirit and he's moving in your heart. He's moving in such a way that he's wooing you back to Jesus. I ask you this morning, would you pray this prayer with me? Jesus, I have sinned against you. I want forgiveness of all my sins. I believe that you died on a cross for me and that you rose again. Jesus, I give you my life to do with as you wish. I want you, Jesus, to come into my life, to come into my heart. This is what I ask in your name, Jesus. Amen. You know, folks, if that's been your prayer today, I would love to hear about your stories. You can go and reach me at on our webpage at vitalministries.org. My email address is on there. I'd love to hear the stories that maybe this morning that you simply asked Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. And if you do, I'd love to send you a Bible, a new beginner's Bible. If you would just send me an email and let me know the encounter that possibly that you had today with Jesus himself, that we truly serve a risen King, a risen Lord. And I pray that today that we find great joy in remembering of the sacrifice of what he did all this week. But today he is risen. That's what the joy is all about today, is that we know that he is a risen Lord and that he does not lie in a tomb. I was at the tomb in Israel. Folks, it's empty. The resurrection truly has happened. He has left, and he now sits at the right hand of the Father with anticipation of waiting for the last person to come into the fold, and he will return again. What an exciting day today is. Folks, again, I just want to thank you so much for being a part of your Easter Sunday. I pray that the Holy Spirit has truly spoken to your heart, that is a witness to what Jesus has done, his life, that we commemorate, that we simply remember. Happy Easter. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.